Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, July the 19th, South Africa's Cardinal Napier expresses gratitude for the Pope's prayers for his strife-ridden country. Cardinal Bow appeals for a collaborative effort to improve conditions for the people of Myanmar and to save lives. And Pope Francis pens a letter of thanks to the Gemelli hospital staff who looked after him with competency and compassion during his 10-day recovery after surgery. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. South African Cardinal Wilfred Fox Napier, Archbishop Emeritus of Durban, has expressed deep gratitude to Pope Francis for having mentioned the difficult situation in his country, as well, of course, for his prayers. Speaking on Sunday after the Angelus, the Pope appealed to those involved in rioting and looting in South Africa, as well as to political leaders, to engage in constructive collaboration for peace. Over 200 people have been killed in the country and more than 2,500 arrested for widespread unrest fueled by poverty and inequality. The unrest was triggered by the anger of some over the jailing of former President Jacob Zuma and swiftly degenerated into looting which has destroyed hundreds of businesses. Reiterating his thanks to the Pope for his concern and for his prayers, Cardinal Napier told me the situation has calmed, but there is much concern for the future.
For us, it has been really something wonderful, something we're very grateful for, that the Holy Father gave special mention to the situation in South Africa, because once the wider church is praying for us, we know that we're being very well looked after from that spiritual point of view.
He mentions the dream of the South African people. It's been almost three decades since that struggle resulted in a democracy. Do you think that dream has been forgotten by some?
I think that dream has been superseded by the selfish interests of individuals and smaller groups, particularly within the party that is in government, the African National Congress. And these people, a number of people, are putting their own personal and perhaps little factional interests ahead of the interests of the country, and as a result are prepared to sacrifice the future of the country in order to maintain or to gain power over the governing party. That is what is so sad, that after three decades, we still have people that have that selfish way of looking at things and are not seeing the South African community as the one that they are serving, but their own self-interest is the only thing that they are serving. That, I think, is the greatest tragedy. Perhaps it's a blessing that it's been exposed at this stage, and I think more people are going to stand up now and say, we don't want this kind of government in power any longer.
Thank you, Cardinal Napier. Is there anything you'd like to add?
I would just say, please pray for us. Please pray for us, that we may have the resources to help those who are already at the doors of starvation.
South African Cardinal Wilfred Fox Napier, Archbishop Emeritus of Durban there. At least 188 people are now known to have died in Western Germany and Belgium after flooding caused by heavy rain wreaked havoc. And attention now is shifting to parts of Austria and southern Germany. On Sunday, German Chancellor Angela Merkel visited affected areas and emergency workers, and she expressed shock at what she described as surreal destruction. Also on Sunday, Pope Francis expressed his closeness to the populations struck by the catastrophic floods after the Angelus prayer. He said he's praying for the deceased and their loved ones and for the sustainment of rescuers and aid workers. Amongst those offering aid is Caritas Germany. Speaking to Vatican Radio, Silke Matei describes the reality of the situation in flood-affected areas and what Caritas is doing to bring aid to those in need.
A major challenge is to provide housing for the affected people who have lost everything. Also, the accommodation and care of people in need of care or people with disabilities is a great challenge. In addition, communication is still very limited in some places, as telephone and internet connections have collapsed. Also, The damage is now only gradually becoming visible, and many houses are in danger of collapsing. It is inconceivable what devastating damage the flood has caused. There are still missing people. The solidarity of the people and the willingness to help is overwhelming. Numerous volunteers are on the ground and support how and where they can. The fire departments, the technical relief organization, and others are in constant action. The willingness to donate is huge, and people are traveling to the affected areas and pitching in with the cleanup efforts. Caritas is using social media to inform people about the relief efforts and donation opportunities, and many people are also offering their help to Caritas. It is a terrible catastrophe, and our thoughts and prayers are with the victims of the flood and their families, with all those affected, but also with the many helpers.
And that was Silke Mattei of Caritas Germany. Myanmar continues to reel under the February the 1st military coup. The situation is exacerbated by a devastating third wave of the COVID pandemic amid a critical shortage in oxygen supply. The country's leading churchman today called on all parties in the impoverished nation to stop every conflict and come together for the good of all and to save lives. Robin Gomes has more.
COVID-19 is waging a war against our people with a ferocity unknown to the people. Thousands are infected. Hundreds are buried, unwept and unsung, hurriedly buried in crowded cemeteries. Day and night our people wait for oxygen in crowded streets, bemoaned Myanmar's Cardinal Charles Bo of Yangon on Monday. The Cardinal, who is President of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Myanmar, CBCM, made use of the National Martyrs' Day Monday to appeal yet again for peace in the impoverished nation. Martyrs' Day, a holiday in Myanmar, commemorates the assassination of General Aung San and other leaders of the pre-independence interim government on July the 19th, 1947. Recalling the assassination, Cardinal Bo said, "Their sacrifice in every blood was shed to make this country a great country." As the COVID spirals out of control, inflicting fear, anxiety and death, he said, "The only way we can pay homage to the martyrs' sacrifice is to come together as one nation against the pandemic. This is not the time for inflicting wounds. This is the time to heal," he emphasized. The ousting of Suu Kyi, the daughter of General Aung San, and her elected government by the military over 5 months ago has thrown the nation into chaos with nationwide protests and strikes demanding the restoration of the government and the release of their leader. There have been no signs of a let-up in the brutal crackdown by Myanmar's military on its opponents in a bid to consolidate its hold on power. "Please stop all conflicts. The only war we need to wage is against the lethal, invisible virus, which proved to be invincible even to the superpowers of the world," pleaded the Cardinal. "United we save lives, divided we bury thousands," Cardinal Bo said, adding, "History will be the harshest judge if we fail in compassion." He particularly urged the military authorities to ensure that all healthcare workers and young people can help overcome the threat facing the nation. I'm Robin Gomes.
Against the backdrop of escalating violence in Afghanistan, 15 diplomatic missions in the nation have urged the Taliban to halt their military offensives. Nathan Morley reports.
This call for a halt to military action comes less than a day after rival Afghan sides failed to agree on a ceasefire at a peace meeting in Doha. Representatives of the Afghan government and Taliban have been meeting there for talks as violence continues to spiral in the country. On Monday, the Taliban said both sides had agreed upon the need to speed talks up in order to find a fair and permanent solution as soon as possible. However, there was no mention of a halt to the escalating violence. Following on the heels of many foreign troops, the French government flew out around 100 of its citizens over the weekend who work at the embassy there. At the same time, India, China, Germany and Canada have also flown out their citizens or told them to leave the country as the security situation gets worse. Commentators watching the talk say that dialogue has lost momentum as the Taliban continues to make practical military gains in the country. The Taliban were quick to capitalize on the pullout of US and other foreign troops and launched a series of offensives. Meanwhile, over the weekend, Pakistan partially reopened its side of the southern border crossing with Afghanistan, which was shut after the Taliban seized control of the strategic Afghan frontier last week. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
The Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, has made a visit to the Principality of Monaco for the 40th anniversary of the convention signed between the Holy See and Monaco in 1981. During the visit, he gave his encouragement to the mission of the church there and promoted the values of the gospel. Thaddeus Jones has more.
Cardinal Pietro Parolin celebrated Mass on Sunday morning at the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception in the Principality of Monaco. He expressed how it was an honor of being the first Secretary of State of the Pope to do so. Cardinal Parolin arrived in the city-state on Saturday for the occasion of the 40th anniversary of the elevation of the Diocese of Monaco to the rank of Archdiocese, which took place back on July 30th, 1981. In his homily, Cardinal Parolin recalled an event in the centuries-old history of the Principality of Monaco that tells of how the Christian faith in this land has deep roots. It's by the virtue of this faith that Christians, Cardinal Parolin urged, are called to care for their neighbors, especially the many itinerants, wounded in body, like the poor, the marginalized, and migrants, but also those wounded in spirit. On Sunday afternoon, Cardinal Parolin opened the meeting with the clergy, ecclesial movements, and Catholic associations, highlighting the urgency of proclaiming the faith, exercising charity, supporting families, and taking care of creation. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
And finally, Pope Francis has expressed his gratitude to Rome's Gemelli Hospital administration and staff, where he was hospitalized for 10 days for scheduled surgery earlier this month. In the letter, he describes the hospital as a place that takes care of both body and heart. Father Benedict Mayaki tells us more.
Pope Francis has expressed gratitude to the board of directors and the medical staff who took care of him during his recent hospitalization at the Agostino Gemelli Hospital in Rome. In a letter, the Pope said that upon his return from hospitalization, he feels the desire to express a grateful and affectionate thought to the administration and to all those who form the big Gemelli Hospital family. He also affirmed that he experienced a fraternal reception and warm care which made him feel at home. On Sunday, 4th of July, the Holy Father was admitted at the Gemelli Hospital where he underwent surgery for diverticular stenosis of the colon. Following the successful operation and some days in convalescence, Pope Francis returned to the Vatican on the 14th of July. In the letter addressed to the president of the hospital's board of directors, Professor Carlo Frata Pacini, Pope Francis attested to the importance of human sensitivity and scientific professionalism in healthcare. He noted that the Gemelli Hospital is a place where thousands come every day with their expectations and concerns. There, besides the care of the body, the care of the heart takes place, the Pope said. He also prayed that this care will continue through an integral and attentive care of the person capable of instilling consolation and hope in moments of trial. Further appreciating the service of the medical personnel, the Holy Father highlighted that their job is not only delicate and demanding, but is also a work of mercy through which the sick come into contact with the wounded flesh of Jesus. I am grateful to have seen it, to cherish it within me, and to bring it to the Lord, the Pope said. Concluding the letter, Pope Francis reiterated his gratitude to the hospital and staff and imparted an apostolic blessing on the president of the board of directors and all who are part of the Gemelli Hospital family. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
And that's all for this edition of Vatican World News. Thanks to Vincenzo Proto in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.